full size. You can fan with it if you're having a hot flash. If Jewel's hot, that means we don't have the air turned down cool enough. All right. Well, we're going to look at the greatest book tonight and talking about the Bible. So, you know, there's no university course called God 101. You can't enroll and take a class on who God is and pass a final exam and go out and have a great relationship with the Almighty. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You know, nobody's ever sat and interviewed God and said, what do you like? I mean, thanks to The Chosen, we get a good visual of what Jesus was like. But the wonder of the Christian faith is we're not left to guess. We're not left to guess. God didn't hide. God took the initiative. He revealed himself. He tells us who. He tells us what he's like, who he is, and what he desires for in our lives. He tells us all that, and he put it in writing, and that's this Bible that we have. It's the Word of God, and so it when you open that, you're not just reading something somebody hoped was a good word for you. You're reading God's love letter to you and me, and that's a claim that it makes. It makes it about itself. And so we're going to look at three questions tonight in here. Is the Bible true? Why should I read the Bible? And how should I read the Bible? So we're going to look at those and kind of go through those. And you can, I did the slides a little different, so I don't know how this is going to work, but I tried to just like type them out and not make them cute like they were before. So we're going to walk through these. So to get started, I want you to take a minute, and I want you to look at that little section on there where it says, take a minute and consider what you understand the Bible to be. Check any boxes that indicate how you believe the Bible came into being. You've got the option of good men wrote what seemed to be right, religious teachers wrote what they thought was true, men wrote what they thought God wanted, God used people to write down his thoughts using their words. It's a collection of stories passed down. It's always been around. Men wrote down their thoughts and said thoughts that came from God. And so check off all those that you think are true. And we'll come back to that. But you can write those down. Men wrote what they thought God wanted. You know, it's always, when we do Bible studies at Rivard, the kids will, you got these kids that are in there for doing bad things, and they'll give a really nice Sunday school answer. And I'll just go, that's a good church answer, and what's your real answer? And so, you know, a lot of people think, though, that's what God wants, that's what I'll say. So, all right, so you'll also hear phrases that refer to the Bible. Check the ones you've heard. Scripture. Word of God, good news, the book, the Old and New Testaments, the Gospels. And so you can check off whichever one of those you've heard. Anybody check off all of those? Anybody? 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 Yep, most of us have. All right, I've heard all of those. And so just kind of seeing where you are, and you'll kind of, you might want to go back and change an answer to in that first part. I don't know, as we go through this. So is the Bible true is the first thing we're going to answer. Is the Bible true? Now, this is just out of totally true. I've preached on this before, and we'll probably come back and preach on it again. But circle the number on here that you've got that best indicates how you feel about the Bible. It's totally true. That would be number one. It's partly true. That would be all the way over to number 10. Or somewhere in between. What do you think? This is for you. Is it trustworthy? One. Or is it a myth? Number 10. Is it relevant to what you're living through today? Number one. All the way down to number 10. It's out of date. A lot of people think it's out of date today. Or it requires me to obey what it says. Number one, or all the way down to number 10, it gives advice that I can pick and choose from. So you put those answers down. So we're gonna, if the Bible were merely a collection of human wisdom, good men just writing down what seemed right to them, then you're free to treat it as you would any other book, right? If it's just a collection of good sayings, you're free to treat it like any other book and take what's helpful, leave what's not. But if the Bible's actually true and it came from God, then it's no longer optional. We're kind of obligated to do what it says. And most people today that say they don't believe in God or don't believe the Bible's true, it's not they have an intellectual problem with it. They have an obedience problem. They don't want to have, if I admit there's a God and he's telling me to live a certain way, then I got to do something about that. And or if the Bible's real and it's telling me to forgive somebody I want to beat up, you know, or whatever, then I've got to do something with that if it's the Word of God, right? And so that's what happens. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It's in your, I tried to make sure I had put all the Bible verses in here this time so we don't have what happened the other week. It says, all Scripture, everybody say all, is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So first, we got to learn all Scripture, and that word all means every verse, even the ones I don't like, even the ones you don't like. Then it said it's inspired. What does that mean? It literally means God breathed. It means God breathed. It's not the same kind of like inspired, like you're listening to good music and it's inspirational. You know, that's good, but Paul's not using that. He said it's God breathed. And so the Bible doesn't just claim to be inspiring. It claims to be inspired, breathed out of God himself. And so inspiration here means that God spoke through the writers of Scripture to communicate absolute truth to us. Truth about who he is, who we are, and truth about life, both now and forever. And so now we don't know the exact mechanism God used, but he didn't put the writers into a hypnotic trance. You know, he didn't like, you know, you've got to write this down, and he dictated it to them. He didn't dictate it to them. They weren't human typewriters. He used their personalities, and as you read the different books, you can see the different personalities. You can tell Paul's educated. You can tell Peter's not. You know, you look at John's writings, the later writings are different than they were in the beginning. Paul's writings change as they go. The message doesn't change, but the maturity changes as you go through that. Look at 2 Peter 1:20-21. It says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. So look at that. I want to get somebody just shout out a couple of facts. What's some facts in that passage you see? Don't everybody talk at once. What's that? Prophecy didn't come from man. They spoke from God. What's that? Moved by the Holy Spirit. So you can get three good facts out of there. It wasn't their words. And so that, as you see that, so we know that the prophecy didn't come from their own understanding. It says that just plain out. They came from the Holy Spirit. They spoke from God. So that's a powerful verse for you to learn and remember. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And then check the box after that that indicates what was special about these people. So I'll read the verse. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, did I put that? Yeah, I put that on your paper. It says, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted them. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is, and this word continues to work in you who believe. So you've got, they loved each other, they believed Paul's teachings were from God, they gave money, and they did their own thing. Which one of those would you check off? Somebody shout it out. They believed Paul's teachings, I heard somebody say over here. So they believed Paul's teachings, what they were doing. And so the Bible's true, and because it came from God, it's true. Okay, and so because it's true, it's trustworthy. So the Bible came from God, that makes it true. Because it's true, it's trustworthy. And so what you can do is, knowing what you know now, you can go back up to that first thing you filled out about, is the Bible true? And you can put a triangle around anything that might have changed. You can do that later. So the Bible wasn't written by human beings, by human initiative. It wasn't a good idea that they had after eating a good meal, and they were inspired by the good meal. The writers were carried along. They were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, and what they spoke came from God. And when people grasp that, when we truly understand that, it'll change the way we receive the Bible. It'll change the way we receive what we're reading, because you read it and you realize, okay, I got to do this, okay? You know, I got to obey this. And so Paul commended the believers in Thessalonica for that. He thanked them that when they heard the message, they didn't file it away as one more human opinion. You know, they received it as it actually is, the Word of God. And that's why their lives were transformed. More and more times when we say, I don't hear from God, sometimes that's because He's already told us to do something we're not doing. And it's like, okay, you're not doing what I've already told you to do. Why should I tell you something else? You know? You know, we've got to understand, God doesn't say, hey, would you do this? And it's really a question. Okay? He doesn't say, hey, do this. It's not an option. It's not an opinion. He wants you to go do this. If He says go forgive somebody, what does He want you to do? He wants you to go forgive them. You know, and so we need to understand that. If He says write the church a $20,000 check, He wants you to write the church a $20,000 check. Just threw that out there for some of y'all. It could be bigger. I don't care. So, follow the logic. Because the Bible came from God, it's true, and because it's true, it's what? Trustworthy. Other books might help. I mean, commentaries are good. Bible dictionaries are good. All that stuff is good to learn from. If any of that ever contradicts something you read in the Word of God, stay with the Bible. The primary, reliable, God-given source is the Bible. And so, you know, listen, the God that loved you, the God that created you, the God that created the world has communicated through His Word. He's breathed it out to us, so we can know Him, so we can stand on His Word. And let me tell you, He will never give you what I'll call a rhema word, or when you're reading Scripture, sometimes He'll speak to you about something. He might even not be about what, He might speak to you during a message. He's done that to me, and it wasn't even about the message. But He will never, ever contradict His written Word. He will never, in other words, He's not going to say, hey, it's okay to go do this, the Spirit's not, when He said in His written Word that it's not okay to go do that. Okay, does everybody understand that? All right, so why should we read the Bible? Here's a list of several subjects covered in the Bible. You can go to that next slide, Kenny. Put an R for relevant or an I for irrelevant. I couldn't make it look cute like it does on your paper. But look at some of these. And so if they're relevant to today, the Bible, you know, marriage, lying, how to forgive others, how to deal with guilt, friendship, how to get to know God, addictions, how to handle stress, money management, cheating, family relationships, purity, sex outside marriage, dating, happiness, how to love others, time management, education. I couldn't put an irrelevant by any of those. They're all relevant subjects today. And so, and God will deal with each of those in His Word. And so we need to understand that. I mean, He'll deal with every single one of those plus thousands more subjects, okay? And so the more you read, the more you'll find answers to these kind of issues and things that we're struggling with. Now, you might be at a place where you say, okay, the Bible's true, but it still lingers. It's kind of old. Maybe it's outdated. So how could it actually apply to my life? It was written 2,000 some odd years ago, right? The New Testament part. The Old Testament's 5,000-6,000 years old. And so how can that relate to me? The Bible still, does it still speak to marriage? Yes. Does it still say something about lying? Yes. Does it still say something about guilt that won't turn you loose? Sure does. Does it tell you to forgive somebody who's hurt you? Okay, still does that, right? So does it talk about money, family tension, all those things? It talks about all those things, and those are still problems. And so the Bible's still relevant. It speaks to every single thing. It talks about addiction. You can read it and see patterns of addiction and how to come out of that in the Bible. And so you need to understand that. It speaks to every single issue. So look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what's right, and then God uses it to prepare and equip His people for every good work. So what I want you to do, list five benefits. Get a little place on your page there. That's why this thing's four full-size pages. So list out five benefits real quick, and then we'll shout them out. Probably more than five. Just list out five. Give me a sip of coffee while y'all are writing. Somebody tell me one. Somebody tell me a benefit. Say what? Okay. All right. In the back, Jose. To learn to grow closer to God. Prepares and equips you for good works. Makes us realize what we're doing wrong. Helps you to get to know God. Teach you what's true. Gives you peace. Need to put our trust in the Lord. Okay. It's inspired by God. Prepares and equips us for every good work. Those are all good. It does all those things. I mean, it does those things. It corrects us. Anybody ever had reading the Word and realize, man, he's talking about me? That happens to me all the time. And so it helps you correct course and get back on course. It shows us where we're wrong. It corrects us, tells us what we need to do right, and helps us do that. So those are all good. So why was it written? Why was it written? Romans, Paul answers that. He said, such things were written in the Scripture long ago to teach us, and Scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be filled. So what was the reason it was written for? To teach us and what? Guide us, give us hope and encouragement. He gives us a hope and encouragement as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. What's His promises? He's coming back. We're going to spend eternity in heaven with Him. So the Bible gives us hope for all that. It teaches us, gives us hope to hold us steady while we wait on God. So that's what the Bible's for. So, all right, so here's a promise, and you won't find it anywhere else. When you buy groceries, you check the expiration date, right? I mean, milk goes sour, right? Pastor Cassidy always says, what's the date on that one? Got to reach to the back because they put the old stuff up front, right? And bread will go stale unless you buy bunny bread. It'll be good Christmas. If you buy a loaf of bunny bread today, Christmas time, it'll still be good. I mean, I don't know what they put in it. It's probably not healthy. But here's the thing. There's no expiration date on the Word of God. There's no past due date on the Word of God. The Bible says this. The Scriptures say people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. Y'all ever notice that good-looking guy in high school or that good-looking girl in high school, you see them at your 50-year high school reunion, and you go home and you said, Jesus, thank you for not letting me stay with that one, right? Anybody besides, I mean, I probably got a few ex-girlfriends doing the same thing, but, you know, it's like, okay. So the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord does what? It remains forever. It's not going anywhere. The word of the Lord, and you know what? The written word is going to remain forever. They've tried to destroy the Bible. There's been countries that have tried to destroy it. Communist countries have tried to destroy it. The Roman Empire tried to destroy it. And guess what? It just never goes away. I told you about my friend that gave Portuguese Bibles to guys in the country of Angola. He was with Youth for Christ. And this guy had been preaching for like 17 years off John 17, which he had handwritten on a notebook paper. And that's all the Bible he had. The Word of God ain't going anywhere, people. It's going to stay. And it said, the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So that's what, to answer that, we kind of answered the question there. What does that passage say about the word of God? It's going to stay what? It's going to remain forever. It's going to remain forever. It speaks to everything we're going to face. And it's not irrelevant. It's as relevant today as it was the day it was written, maybe even more so. So how should we study the Bible? So the Bible's true, it's worth reading, and that leaves the most practical question of all, how do I actually do it? So first, give God a little time. You want to start small. You want to start small, and you know, I read this, that it says in the study, did you know there's 144 10-minute segments in every day? 144. Would you give God just one of them, 10 minutes? Would you give him 10 minutes? That's just 1/144th of your day. And so that's a good question. Would we? Man, have you ever had a day when you didn't? I have. You know? And it's just like, man, you answer that question. So let me ask you, when do you think the best time for you to give God some time would be? Is it early morning? And we talked about this in the grief group the other night. Steve asked the question, are you morning people or evening people? Let me just ask y'all, how many morning people we got in here? I used to be. How many night owls we got in here? A few of y'all, all right. The rest of y'all go to bed right after church, right? All right, early morning, after work or school, after dinner, or before bed. Just check off when the best time for you to have your quiet time is. It's always good to have more than one, but anyway. How many of y'all would put in the morning as your best time? That's when I like to have mine. Morning is not as early as it once was. It used to be at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's, you know, that's the middle of the night. That's not, no. What about after work? Anybody put after work? After you get off work? That's good. Okay, good. After dinner? That one's rough because you're like sleepy. Y'all are sleepy right now after eating all that food. What about before bed? Anybody put before bed? I'm good before bed. I can read one line and I'm gone, you know. I mean, if I'm in bed, you know, it's like, or, you know, you go to sleep. I'm looking at my iPad on Scripture or something, and I go to sleep sitting in the chair, and I wake up, and it looks like I read something because it's gone somewhere. I don't know what. But, so, you know. All right, so what would be, where's the best place for you? Does everybody have a place where you do your quiet time? Everywhere. Who's got a place? Who's got a place? Okay. All right. It's good to have a place. Think about where you do it. And, you know, I know one guy, he goes down in his basement. He's got his chair. He's got a candle. He said, don't tell anybody because, you know, he's got a candle. His wife makes fun of him. But But, you know, I don't have a candle. I go in my garage. I've got an office just like I have here in my garage. And that's where I do my time. I get on my computer, and I've got my Bible program on my computer, and I go to reading. Where's your place? It's good to have a place. And it's not in front of the TV while the TV's on, typically. Second, there's a couple of ways you can read. We give the one-year Bible. I like the one-year Bible because you get an Old Testament and a New Testament, a psalm and a proverb all together. That doesn't need to be the extent of your Bible read. You might pick a book that you want to read in addition to that. I would say, you know, you get a proverb, and the proverb in the one-year Bible is usually 2 or 3 or 4 verses most. Read a proverb a day. Today is the 10th, so go home tonight and read Proverbs 10 if you hadn't already read it. Excuse me. And so, and tomorrow will be the 11th. You'll be amazed at how something in that proverb is going to happen during the day that you'll go, oh, man, I just read that. I mean, it happens a lot. And so you can do that. You can read a book at a time, you know, and then, you know, or you can do what they were talking about. You can take that 10-minute, 144-second, 10-minute thing and read then. So look at James 1:22. Here's the important part, and it's the third thing. You know, this is the one that changes everything. You got to do something with what you read. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror, and you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, we've all done that. We've all seen a pimple or something that we looked at and then we walk away and forget about it. At least the guys do. You know, I mean, I don't know about y'all ladies, but you know, that's what he's saying. You look at yourself in the mirror and you walk away and you forget what that's like what happens when we're not obeying the word of God. The goal in opening the Bible up is not information, it's transformation. And so if you get stuck on a verse that's really speaking to you and you say, man, You know, God's talking to you about this one particular verse. You don't have to read the whole chapter. Just read that verse. Maybe you look in your Life Application Bible and see what the notes say about that, or in a commentary and pray about how that you can apply that verse in your life that day, you know, because God's going to speak. This thing's alive. It will speak to you, okay? And so you want to ask a couple questions of it when you're reading it. What's this passage teaching me? What's it teaching me? That's the knowledge. Then the next question might be, what is it asking me to do? Or what's it asking me to believe? And if I believe it, then what's it asking me to do? You know, so if you're reading about, it's telling you to forgive somebody. Well, it's wanting you to go forgive somebody, right? You know, and so what's it teaching me? And what's it want me to do? It's called getting real practical. Does that make sense? All right. So, we talk about this. They talked about in this lesson, Take 10, which is where you take 1 minute asking God to help you focus your heart, spend 7 minutes finding this truth in the passage you're reading that day, and then spend the final 2 minutes asking God to help you follow through on it and live it out. We've talked about the first 15, where you spend 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes in the Word. And so either of those is good. And I know probably most of y'all here on a Wednesday night, you're doing probably more time than that. But the Bible, we've been given something that's fantastic that people in other countries don't have. I mean, we've got my father-in-law's Bibles. We've got a whole shelf of his Bibles that had notes in them and stuff like that. There are people that would give their arm to have one of them because they don't have them. And so it's not something we want to be collecting dust. We need to open that thing and read it. And the more we get to know God, the more we're going to trust God, the more we're going to want to follow God and obey what he's wanting us to do. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. Y'all okay with this page tonight? Okay. All right. So let's pray. We're going to pray and close.